Welcome to Celebration Community Church's Sunday Sermon Series. Celebration is located in San Jose, California. We would love to have you join us on Sunday morning. Find out more at www.celebratejesus.net or call our office at 408-225-1000. Now, enjoy the message.
And 17, and we've been declaring this throughout this whole year. Say it together. Satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love, that we might sing for joy and be glad all of our days. Very important. May the favor of the Lord our God rest upon us. Establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hand. This is the verses that we're going to branch from as we minister. We'll share more about what's upcoming. 2 Corinthians 9:8 and Hebrews 4:16. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. That was a very strong prophetic word that the Lord gave to us in 2012, and it continues through today. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Father, these particular verses are so much a part of what you've purposed for the church to hear, especially during this time. And we're asking that you might invade and let the Christians rise up again, because it is important that we reestablish and see what you purposed in revival to come in this nation. We declare it together in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. You can be seated. Okay? Hallelujah. Praise God. We're going to, let me get my thing here. As we began this year, I'm getting a little echo. You want to bring that down just a little bit? Because if I start to get excited, it's liable to hurt somebody. Turn to somebody and say, it's okay to have fun in church. Right? We relax here. It's not about religion, and we'll talk more about that. But at the beginning of the year, the Lord said to us that 2016 was going to be the year of grace and mercy. And again, I share about that order. It's in that order. Normally we say mercy and grace, but it's about grace and mercy. I'm going to share more about this in just a moment. In 2016, we began this whole prophetic projection in saying that the Lord needs you. Extremely important. Things are changing in this nation. And it seems to, I don't know if you watch any of the news, I can only take so much of it, but it just continually deteriorates further and further. But I said to us, that's good news. Well, how is that good news? Are we sadists? Do we like to just where things are miserable? No. The rest of the world, the rest of the nation is miserable. But we have hope, because God says, I know the end from the beginning. Amen. The end from the beginning. Not just the beginning from the end. And the Lord has revealed to us what the end is, so that we can have hope through this whole process. Some more amens. That will be helpful. You know how I get a little bit feeling insecure when you're not responding correctly to me. In 2016, we said the Lord is preparing and equipping the church for the new release of the unfolding of revival. And I'm not just throwing this out as a sense of, well, isn't it wonderful if we had revival? No. We've gone through the whole year of recognizing key issues in Scripture that reveal to us that this is a time like no other time. And when we understand that process, the Lord says that in the darkest days, that's when His light shines the brightest. Amen. Turn to somebody and say, you are the light of the world. You believe that? And we're changing our batteries from the little bitty pin light to 9 volt, and then we're going to go to the 12 volt, right? Yeah. Turn to somebody and say, he's talking to you this morning, and those online. Let me just share with you. And you know, I've been bringing current events. I believe we as Christians have stewardship over this nation. I believe that we are to pray, and I believe that we are to be informed so we can, in fact, come against the powers of the enemy. And I set a whole series on what it means to take your rightful position against the powers of the enemy. Do you know, listen, this is not to bring discouragement, but it's to pray. As of September, in California, from grades 3 through 12, the LGB philosophy, mindset, lifestyle is going to be taught as an equal lifestyle in third grade. Now, for those that are listening for the first time, you understand that I am not against anyone. I preach the Bible. That's where we get strength. That's where our foundation is. And that's why when we live according to the Word of God and minister according to the Word, then God is required to back up the Word. Amen? Amen? So I feel pretty safe and pretty confident that when I minister the Word of God, then he has to back us up. And when you live the Word of God, then he has to back up your ministry. So what's happening, here's another thing. You ready for this? Put on your seatbelt, I said. You know that there's convocations around the United States. Normally they have a minister come and open up the Congress or the city council or whatever. Whether you know that or not, that's what happens. Well, how many know if the enemy gets a foothold, he'll take advantage of it? They are also now, just read this convocation up in Alaska, that the government is allowing throughout this country the Church of Satan to pray to begin over meetings. The Church of Satan. And this is one of the quotes of the prayer that went forward. Let us follow Lucifer and eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And then at the end of it, it said, Hail Satan forever. Now, how many know that there's no way in the world when a nation allows, we want to be inclusive, right? And what happens, that inclusiveness begins to take over. And this is what, we want the minority to be represented and whatever. But as you know, and this, what we've been ministering on this throughout this year, that God needs us. We need to be aware of this because ignorance is not bliss. And the enemy will come in when there is any type of void. And that's why we as Christians need to understand that God is in the process about ready to equip us to see as was spoken. She almost ministered, Sophia almost ministered my message this morning. And the next move of God is going to be a revival for evangelism. Yes, yes. Evangelism. Because we see at the end time, God's going to do everything he possibly can to pour out his Spirit so that as many people will be brought into the kingdom as possible. And then he returns. The next outpouring of the Spirit is going to be evangelism. And we have pointed that out through the months that we've been dealing with. And who is going to be the instrument through which God moves in evangelism? That's right. The church. Us. You. You are the church. So what's happening, the Lord has been saying throughout this year, and many other pastors, thousands of them around around this nation, as I turn and listen to different things online, it is about preparing the church to take up the mantle to see that God's word, the kingdom of God, the good news shall be expressed so that we can prepare for the end gathering. That's what it's all about. That's where we're at right now. And that's what God is about to do. And that's what we've been teaching on through this whole year. We looked at essentials for your ministry, along with how to release the anointing through your ministry. We also looked at, and this was so very important as we studied this, the revelation. You have a calling, you have a ministry, and you have a destiny. Amen. And the wonderful thing, or the thing that was brought together in this, that your calling has to do with your ministry, and your ministry has to do with your destiny. You will never be able, and you know that I'm a destiny person. God created each one of us with a destiny. He knows exactly what He has for us. He planned it. He knows. I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. Plans not to harm you, but to give you a future and a hope. So our ministry is connected to our destiny. Our calling is part of who we are. Who we are is manifested in our ministry. And as we continue, as we do our ministry, we enter into our destiny.
Amen.
Very, very important breakdown so that we can understand. I don't want you to forget that, because we are going to be looking at that more. How to deal and release the anointing and minister to others, we looked at. We also looked at how to stop robbery in your life. That personal protection of how to move in spiritual warfare. Because the reason I taught on that, many, many times over the years, but the reason why, because Scripture says that in the last days, the enemy is going to come in like a flood. Now we put the comma, the Lord is like, in the last day, the enemy is going to come in, comma, like a flood, the Lord is going to raise up a standard of righteousness. There was no commas in Scripture. There's no verse numbers, there's no capital letters, there's none of that. That's for us. No periods, no exclamation parts, no quotes. So I put the comma where I want to put the comma. In the last days, God will raise up a standard of righteousness like a flood. But what that is saying, that in the last days, the powers of hell are going to literally give it its everything it possibly can to try to destroy the witness of the church. And when you read chapter 1 of Romans, you see, and I've taught on this, the downward spiral of when society ends. 12 societies have been established since the beginning of time. 12 major. You go into the Romans, you go into the Greeks, you go into the Babylonians, you go through the whole thing. And Paul says to the Romans, which was a civilization at that time, he says, there is a downward spiral. The last point of the ladder, the rung on the ladder before the society is wiped out. And you've heard me say that. You know what it is? The destruction of the family. The redefining of the family. And how many know we're there? So were we going to? Are we going to sit back and just try to hang on to the boat until God comes back and gets us? If that were the case, why did He give us the Holy Spirit? Why did He give us that anointing that enables us to establish the kingdom of God if all we're supposed to do is just hang on till He gets home, until we get home? I believe, and I say this, can't really prove it, but I feel it, that when we're ready to go and we've accomplished everything that the Lord has for us purposely, individually, personally, then He takes us home. I believe God can accomplish everything that God told us, so it's time to go. He won't leave us down here one moment longer than we're supposed to. So what does that mean? There's more to do. I tell you, you get up in the morning, before you get up, grab a hold of yourself, and if you're still here, then there's more to do, right?
Amen.
That's the whole process. We also said, because of this, how to deal and stop robbery in others. We went through that whole process there. Today, I want to focus in on the next area that we're looking at, and that is preparing the church for releasing the dynamic of the Holy Spirit in this upcoming season. Preparing the church. The focus is in these next months, however the Lord has for us. I haven't got the end of it yet. I'm just getting the preliminary situations of what the Lord is saying. The area, as I said again, 2016 is the year of grace and mercy. We begin the next area of focus with the power of grace for ministry. We taught back in 2012 the revelation that I had about what grace is all about. The understanding of that personal understanding of what grace is. And as I mentioned back there, it changed my life. So the grace that we were studying in the past was about that revelation of understanding of how that application or how that grace applies to us. I want to share this different perspective of grace coming up. Let me make some very important statements here so that we get grounded. And I've written it out so that you can read it and hear it and see it and listen to it. Because I think it's very important that we understand this. You will never be able to function in full capacity of your ministry to the Lord, to others, and also in defeating the powers of the enemy unless you understand the dynamic of grace. Amen. It's extremely important. We will never... Well, let me just push the next one here. The understanding of God's grace enables the Holy Spirit to be released in full potential. Amen. When the Lord brought this revelation to me, it changed my ministry. Like I said, well, I've been ministering for 40 years. And I preached on grace multiple scores and scores of time. But there was something that I didn't understand. There was something of the revelation. I preached that God, and I'll show you in just a moment, that grace was God's unmerited favor. And that's right. And I'll share some more. But somehow or another, from my background and so many other denominations or Christians, there was some kind of a work ethic that was necessary for me to comply with God to enter into His unmerited favor. And there was always that sense of, well, I've got His mercy. What I don't deserve, God's blessing me. I mean, what I do deserve, He's not calling judgment on it. But something about the grace of God that transformed my understanding. Let me get more into it in just a moment. Let me lay the foundations here to receive, so that we can receive the new revelation that God has for us in the upcoming season of Rhea. I promise you. Everybody cough. 1, 2, 3. Thank you. Can I have a little bottle of water if there's anything back there? Thank you. I promise you, according to God's word, that He is about ready to release. Joel chapter 2, it says literally in the last days, I'm going to pour out my spirit. And I think I've convinced most of the people here that we are in the last days. And I've outlined a number of reasons why, starting with the time when Israel came back and established their own land. The Bible says, when that happens, then be aware, for the end is near. And they have their own land. And that's why the Palestinians and all the other, they're doing everything they possibly can to drive the Israelites out. And by the way, another scripture, and you've heard me say this. For those who haven't, let me say it again. It's important. The Bible says that in the last days, all the nations of the world will turn against Israel. And up until this time, that would have been not even thought of in our relation, the United States' relations with Israel. It would have not even been, Israel was always one of our prime efforts to be able to contain that area. They were our allies and have always been, except till now. Except to now. No nation in this and on this earth is backing Israel, which aligns another one of the check marks that says we are in the end times. Now, don't be afraid of it, because I don't know. I'm not talking about any date. I'm just saying we are going to be like the sons of Issachar. And the sons of Issachar were able to discern what was going on. Ignorance is not bliss. You can't sit back and just sort of hang on to the boat and say, well, let's just ride out the storm, because the storm's never going to end. That's good news, because the Lord says, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Amen. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Amen. So laying these foundations about for this new outpouring of the Holy Spirit, 2 Corinthians 9, 8, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, and Hebrews chapter 4, 16. This is how it works. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need. Everybody say all.
All.
You will abound in every good work. That's ministry. Every good work is ministry. So that we will receive grace for ministry. Also, for it is by grace that you have been saved through faith, and not for from yourselves. It is a gift from God. It is a gift from God. The grace is a gift from God. No one can boast in this. You can't boast in a gift. The next one is, let us approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and grace to help us in our time of need. Amen. Let me tell you something. We have times of need personally, but the Lord has times of need too. Amen. And His time of need is our time of need. And Jesus, the Word says, and probably the most popular, well-known verse in the Bible, that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life, everlasting life. Now that Jesus has proclaimed, we've got the Word of God, we've got the prophet's declaration. Who's going to get the Word out? We. Who else? Who is going? Jesus says, and I'll show you in just a moment, I am going to the Father to intercede for you, but you shall receive power, we'll share in just a moment, to carry on the gospel of what I gave everything for. I'm putting my aspirations, I'm putting everything, my hopes and desires in you, that you will be my instrument to talk to that person, to minister however you would have, however God reveals it to be, to that person over the fence who has a barking dog or yelling and screaming because they're having family fights all the time, or that person in the other cubicle, or even that person. I had somebody cut me off on Thursday on my way to San Mateo. I mean, he beeping behind me. I'm going the speed limit. Honk, honk, honk. I used to do things by knee-jerk reaction. But I've learned, because I broke both of my knees, that I did. I'm exercising, bike things and stuff like that. There's no jerk whatsoever in it. But I said, and he passed me and got in front of me and hit on the brakes. I said, do I need a new bumper? No, I don't need a new bumper. But he was yelling and screaming and stuff. And I said, Lord, I don't know what's happened with this guy, but bless him. I almost said with a brick, But I didn't say that. Who else? You can't imagine even the slightest thing. God only works on a positive, and He's waiting for us to give Him something that He can work with.
Yes.
The slightest, the smallest thing. Have your place in line here. That's okay, I'll wait. Yet I just want you to know, boy, you look, well, I don't think you can say that today. You can't say you look good today. Or you can say, what a beautiful smile on your face. Or, I just want to know, you know, you encourage me. Those kinds of things. It just seems, no big deal. You don't get under this thing. Have a good day. Have a good day. I mean, that's, you know, that's been so worn out that it's become, yeah, okay, like, how are you doing today? Which you don't want to hear anyway. But the smallest thing that we can give to God, He can turn it into. That's what life is all about. That's why we're here. You're already God's, right? How many people are going to heaven? How many people know that it's not a destination, but it's how you're getting there?
Yes.
It's not about self. It's not about God is my, Jesus Christ is my Savior. That's done. That's a one-time thing. But Lord is a day-by-day process.
Yes.
And when He becomes our Lord, then what's on His heart and what He's concerned about becomes our passion. And it's amazing how the things that we are so overwhelmed with don't they grow dim in the light of His glory and grace. Important. We often say, as I said, that grace is His unmerited favor, but it goes far beyond that simple statement. It means living in grace. Living in grace means the awareness that the Lord is with us. You've got notes. You remind yourself of this. That the Lord is with us. I don't care whether it's a business meeting, driving on the freeway for the first time in a long time, sending your kids out the first time to go back to school. The Lord says, raise up your kids. Will be with them. I know this is a new year and it's never been more challenging in terms of the spiritual atmosphere. Thank the Lord that a lot of our kids are going to private school, Christian school, but some of them are not. And going into that kind of atmosphere, I pray, Lord, You said that You are with my children and my grandchildren, that You are with us, understanding that we have access to God. When we say, Lord, He says, yes. You know that? Standing right by saying, I tell the angels, I'm busy. Right now, I'm waiting for Ross, just in case he needs something this day. Or you. That's the way it is. Closer than a brother. By the way, everything that I'm saying is from Scripture. You know why? I don't have to back it up. He does. And I learned a long time ago, I'd rather have Him back it up than me.
Yes.
Amen. The forgiveness of sin and freedom from condemnation. That was one of the most incredible understanding of what grace is all about. I will never have to stand before God for sin again. If that were the case, and many Christians think that way, that means that Jesus Christ's sacrifice on the cross was not enough. Jesus said, the Father said, when I accepted Him as Savior, I forgive your sins. Every sin that you have committed and every sin you will commit has already been forgiven through God's grace. When I found that out, I received a scripture one early morning, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 4 o'clock is when the Lord normally wakes me up. And I remember through our revival, we had some prophets come by and they ministered. They said, one of them said, Bob Jones, he said that when God wakes them up, or maybe it was, I don't know who it was, I think it was him. He said, whenever God wakes me up, I look at the clock. And I look at the clock, and then I remember, and I received a word that, I can't remember, I've written it down in my thing. I think it was 4:12 or something like that. And it can either be 4:12 or 41:2. And, you know, I just go back, and the Lord said, okay, and I said, good, I'll remember that one. He says, no, I want you to remember, I want you to get up and take a look at it now. I looked at it, and the Lord said in that verse, the verse said, your heavy service has now been lifted. And I said, whoa, sounds good to me. I conjured up things like financial problems, any challenges within our church that we were going through. The heavy service has been lifted. All right, let's go for it. And nothing happened. So I went, and this was the end of October of 2011. And I'm going, all right, I just sort of put it aside. Maybe it was just a pizza or something that I ate that night. And I got up and I wrote it down. And then the beginning of January 2012, the Lord said, I'm going to begin to teach you something that will set you free. And he taught me on the understanding of grace. And for those that were here, for one entire year, I taught, remember that? On the understanding of grace. And again, that I'd been ministering 36 years by that time. You think I'd have a handle on something important as that? But what happened was there was a recognition that God says, you are accepted. And it changed. Listen to this for those who have ears to hear. It changed for, I used to preach, if my people who were called by my name shall humble themselves and pray, then I will. So it was what I taught the conditional format. The conditional format is if I will, he will, right? If you will, I will. And the Lord said to me, I want that changed. And I said, you're responsible. And he says, I want you to change it to this. If you will, you ready? Change your life if you hear it. If you will, then I can. Completely different. If you will do, then I can do what I want to do. And it changed the whole philosophy, the whole understanding. If I will do what, then God will do what he wants, what he will do, what I'm asking. To the understanding that if we are not doing what we are supposed to do, then it restricts God. Instead of our understanding of him holding it back, it's that you are causing me by your actions or a lack of responding correctly, you're hindering me from doing what I want to do. And it changes everything. If you will, then I can. And I begin to understand the incredible revelation that God, which I knew to be and I taught, that he's a good God and he cares for us. And he wants all, no good thing. God gives, there's no good thing he withheld. So why wasn't I getting it? Because I was putting him into a situation where I was requiring to yield to my works, no longer bound to works for his favor. I figure if I do everything I possibly, and again, this is far more than my Catholic background. which is completely antithetical of what the Scripture says. And I'm not putting, you know that I love the Catholics. I thank the Lord, for those that are listening for the first time, thank the Lord for my Catholic background. Been able to minister to priests and nuns and go into monasteries that are cloistered and all that. What we do is we understand the love and the power of God in that process. And I thank the Lord for that basis. But there was something about a work ethic. And it's not just the Catholics, it's the Lutherans, it's all of that. That somehow or another, we've got to work our salvation out. And what that means is I've got to perform in order to get God's favor. And that is not at all the case. So what does that mean? Well, if it's all taken care of, let's just do whatever we want to do. Well, that's what they ask Paul. Well, if grace abounds where there is sin, then my grace, the more sin, the more grace abounds. And what does he say? God forbid. Here's the kicker. Boy, when you preach grace, then you get into some people that says it's cheap grace. That you're just giving people freedom to be able to do whatever they want to do. And the confines, the structure, whatever, is not, you're removing that. And you know that's not at all the case. The difference is that we're obedient to God and serve Him, not because of the fear of judgment or the fear of or withholding His blessings and favor in our lives. We follow God's laws and regulations because we love Him.
Yes.
Lord, today yes. I'm getting up to acknowledge that first of all, that my heart's cry is after You. And to let You know, Lord, that whatever is necessary, I will follow through to the best of my ability, not because I'm fearing retribution or You withholding any good thing, but because I love You. And I will not, to the best of my ability, break the statutes that You set. I will follow in obedience, not because all the other stuff of the last 36 years, but because, Lord, my heart follows hard after You. Like a deer that I want You to know, Lord, that I love You, and I don't want to grieve Your Holy Spirit. And I like to say, God, and I'm not satisfied yet. I want more. And I don't have to work what I call spiritual exercises, spiritual push-ups, spiritual good deeds. The Lord says, right now, and I've told you this hundreds of times, He will never love you any more than He does right now. I don't care what you do. Nothing greater than what right now. So why? If we got it not, we're in heaven. We all know we're going to heaven. What is there? If we've forgiven our sins, He's never going to love me less. Let's just go out and, God forbid. You know why? Because that incredible, insatiable desire that we love Him. Next. Turn to somebody and say, He's got to go faster. The next thing we're looking at, and I'm going to go faster, no longer neutralized by our failures. How many times we beat ourselves up and we defeat the tactics of the enemy. Living in grace means that we know with a confidence that no weapon formed against me, my family, those that in my sphere of influence shall prosper. And release the power of God through us. Living in God's grace. Really, we are also to live in grace. We are told to live. His unmerited favor, His grace has been released to you and your ministry. I want you to know God's grace has been released. He's waiting for us to go into it and draw from what has already been released. It's important. The understanding of grace is a key receiving the Lord's provision and living in the overcoming life. Understanding God's grace is a key to receiving the Lord and provision and living in God's grace. Understanding God's grace, the grace will of the Lord, will enable you to see who you are and live victorious in your ministry and destiny. What I'm trying to say to you folks is that the understanding of grace is extremely important for us in the days ahead. The purpose of God's grace is releasing God's grace. The purpose of receiving God's grace is releasing God's grace. You understand that God never gives us something for us to keep, right? Anybody? He never gives us something just to keep for ourselves. The revelation of Jesus that you have through the years is not for you only. It's for you to give away. We are to become agents through which God's grace is released. And you will receive power, and we're closing. Oh, ye of little faith. But you will receive God's provision, grace, when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses, the releasers of grace in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and San Jose, and the whole Bay Area. When the kingdom of God is released, when God's grace is released, the kingdom of God is released. And I've got a bunch of scriptures there that I can't go over, but I would. And I will. Just suffice, for from the fullness of his grace, we have all received one blessing after another. I want to read these. It is through grace of our Lord Jesus Christ that we have been saved. God, Romans 5:15, God's grace and the gift that came by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflows to the many through you. God's grace is expressed through healing. Boy, I'm going to review this next week. Let me just show you how it's expressed through God's favor, through God's provision, through miracles, through freedom. This is the expression of God's grace through you. Healing. Luke chapter 4, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has called me to preach good news to the poor, sight to the blind, healing to those that are sick, the ability to walk for the lame, hearing for those that are deaf. And I've told you before, this is not just a spiritual stuff. It's physical stuff. And Jesus says, the same thing that I have done, you will do. Let me tell you, how quickly do you think someone would come to at least accept your understanding of Christ when you're releasing God's grace and it manifests itself in healing or deliverance? Let me tell you something. They'll follow you home. And that's what this is all about. Six words in conclusion. April? Alan, everybody say in conclusion. Part one, by the way. Six words in conclusion I want you to understand about this. Grace to you and grace through you. We recognize that God's grace becomes not just a wonderful aspect of Christianity. It's not just grace be with you. That's the way Paul starts many of his epistles. Grace of the Lord, or peace of the Lord, mercy of the Lord be with you. Grace and mercy from Jesus Christ. We're going to need
we're going to need a bigger God for the days ahead. A greater revelation. Because what's happening around us, I don't know about you, but I minister to a lot of people outside of the church too, way beyond. People are just so discouraged and so beaten down and so overwhelmed with how possibly. When we understand and we make ourselves available, God will minister through us in direct proportion to the need. Hear what I'm saying?
Yes.
Listen to this. God will minister through us in the direct proportion to what the need is that you're ministering to. So we're not talking about some theologian, some person that's walking with the Lord for 40 years, 30 years, who can quote scripture, which is very, very important. Because what has been happening over the years is, oh my gracious, I could never be like Sophia, or I could never be like Ann, or I could never I could never. And I tell them, first of all, the ground at the cross is level. And all he wants from us is basically to show up. To show up. He doesn't need our ability. He needs our availability. And when we recognize that you get up every morning and say, Lord, may your favor, and by the way, you know the word favor? We say this every day. May the favor of the Lord our God rest upon us, establish the work of our hands. Do you know the word favor is the word grace? May the grace of the Lord be establish the work of my hands. Yes, establish the work of my hands. Isn't it wonderful the way God weaves everything together? My friends and those listening, we've been called to the kingdom for such a time as this. Let us not grow weary in doing well, for we will reap a harvest if we don't give up. And everybody said, bow with me, bow with me. Father, thank you again for your loving kindness that's better than life, for the confidence that you have begun a good thing in us shall complete it to the day of Jesus Christ. Thank you that we have the testimony of your word, of the saints. Thank you that we have examples that have lived their life and are now placing their crowns before you. Thank you that it's not by power nor by might, but by your spirit. Thank you, Lord. That you've gone before us to prepare a way. Somehow, you've chosen us to deal with the issues in life and the power of the enemy. And Lord, we make ourselves available. We make ourselves available. And I want you to take 1 minute, speak to the Lord. Whatever's on your heart, share with him. Hallelujah. I wish I had more time, but I don't. I never like to interrupt, but we've got a deadline. You can spend the rest of the time, everybody look up. I know it's tough. Spend the rest of the time this afternoon on your way home saying, but the wonderful thing is the Lord knows what's on our heart even before we speak it. Aren't you happy? Aren't you blessed that you are a child of God? That's better than anything. Amen and amen. Let's stand and give the Lord a praise offering as we close. Let's get into it. Come on, let's give Him a praise offering. Amen, amen.
Fierce. That means nothing can stop Him and His love for you and His love through you. Take your neighbor's hand. Let's agree together. Father, I bless my brother and my sister on my right and left, that this week be filled with your provision, with your anointing, with health, with protection, with wisdom. And Lord, most important at this particular time, with ministry through them. We claim that together. Let your neighbor's hand go. Lift your hands before the Lord. This is how we started the service.
Thank you, Lord, that we reach out to you, and spiritually we touch the hem of your garment, and everything that we need is restored, is given, and we walk in that victory. We claim it, Father, for your glory. Now receive the benediction. May the favor of the Lord, grace, may the favor of the Lord be with you. Be with us, Lord. Establish the work of your hands. Yes, establish the work of your hands. And we claim that together. We claim it, Father, and we claim the fruit in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Let's give the Lord a praise offering. Turn around and give somebody a hug. Have an awesome week in Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to our Sunday sermon message. Pastor Babish is available for personal and family counseling. Please click the Counseling tab for more information. Again, we would like to invite you to attend our Sunday service or call our office if you have any questions. May the Lord richly bless you.